Kick off your shoes and unbuckle your drawers. It's time for Cliff and Kendall.
Here to stay.
That's right, Kendall, it's here to stay. The sun as we go along. Are we recording? Did we start? I had the light. I didn't even see the light on over there. Kendall.
There was a big announcement. The show was starting, made by me.
I was not. Of course, when you started talking, I just tuned you out immediately.
And as usual.
So, sorry, my booth is on the floor of the dinger. No, my dinger's on the floor of the booth over here.
Your dinger's all over the place.
I'm fine trying to grab it. Let's see. It's, you know, the booth, as you can imagine, two giant fat men and just a lot of stuff.
And this keyboard.
It's all very cramped. A lot of dingers. A lot of
This keyboard took up a lot of extra space that we had before.
Extra space. All right.
Extra space. This week on the show, we are doing something that I love to do. I'm so excited.
What do you love to do, Kendall?
We're giving some hacks and tips.
Hacks and tips, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to
buy some hacks.
And some hacks, and we're going to talk about weird things, the weird things about Christmas, right?
Oh, I'm excited about that part, too. That comes later, though.
Oh, I think that should come now.
Oh, you're just going to talk about it all, throw it all out there at once.
No, I think that the hacks should come later. I can't believe. I made the big declaration earlier that we were going to talk about the weird things first.
I guess it shows that we don't listen to each other's declarations at all. Let's talk about the weird Christmas
facts. Why did I even stand up and say, I declare that we will talk about the weird? Why did I even do that, Kendall, if you're not even going to listen to the declarations?
But if I had a dollar for every time you did that, I'd be a millionaire.
Oh, if I had a dollar in the morning.
I will start with the weird Christmas facts, but I'm not even going to start first, because before we even get there, we need to discuss what's going on, where we are. We need to paint a picture for the listeners.
All right, you paint a picture.
I'll play Christmas Tree.
Oh, Christmas Tree. Oh, Christmas Tree. We're at the Christmas Tree Farm here on Fizzy 111. It's Farmer Fallon's Farm of Feliz Navidad. It's the total name of it. I just call it the Christmas Tree Farm. And we're here, and, you know, the whole gang, we've come to cut down our own Christmas tree. We're going to get one for the store. Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churns Butter Churn of Pottery and Butter, of course. A big one for the display in there. And I don't know, I'm wondering, can I get one? I wonder if there's like a sort of half off, you know, some sort of stunted growth, maybe something with Dutch elm disease, and I could get one, you know, on clearance for my motel room.
We're looking for Dutch elm disease around here.
We're looking for love in all the wrong places, Kendall. But that's where we are now. As of yet, you know, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snodbottom, they have not been able to come to terms and agree on any of these trees that are out here. They've got their saws out, ready to cut one down, but they are just bickering. Don't you just, listen, this is for the singles out there. Don't you just love it when you're with these married couples and they just won't fucking stop bickering the whole time? Doesn't it just make you glad that you get to go home alone? But anyway, they just won't stop bickering.
Cliff, it's the hardest of Christmas decisions to make.
It's
to
hard.
Find a tree that's perfect for both of your needs.
It is for your needs. Now, what do you look for in a tree? And have you ever done this before? I used to go as a kid. My dad would go out to a Christmas tree farm not unlike this in the old Tennessee woods or wherever the hell, and we would cut down a tree. Now, what about you?
We would get up early. We would go hunting up in the attic, searching for the box that said Christmas tree on it, and then we would schlep it back to the warmth of our living room, and we would put it up and decorate and trim the tree. Same every year.
Same every year. Now, I will have you know, it probably was around, I don't know why, when I was like 10 or 11 years old, I became so paranoid about having a real tree in the house. I think
because of fire, you mean?
Yes. And I think there were all of those, like, you know, commercials on TV saying, watch out, your tree could incinerate your whole house.
And I don't know about you, we had like the fire department come to our school and talk about all the dangerous things in the house. It made me terrified all the time. I thought for sure our house was going to burn down.
But I got so terrified of having a live tree. I think I pestered my dad into stopping because I was like, oh my God, no, it's just, this is a sure way for all of my VHS tapes to just burn and melt into one big lump, is for the tree to just catch our house on fire.
Well, you'll remember I only had a real Christmas tree 1 year. It was the year we moved to Busheltown, and you helped me go get a tree to put up in the house. It was the first thing we put up in the house we bought in Busheltown. And it was a real tree, and it was the hardest thing to clean up after. I had to sweep and vacuum, but we got it at that like little Christmas tree lot we went to. I forget where it was.
I remember that. Now, I've had a real tree once as an adult, I think, 1 year, maybe 2 years. And it wasn't that much harder because for me, now I don't know why, listeners, this is one of those Christmas things that just drives you nuts. And whenever I put up my fake trees, like the one I put up earlier today in my motel room, I put one on the east side. I'm thinking about getting a real tree for the west side of the motel room. It's about 6 feet in between where they would be standing. But anyway, the one that I put up, I got out of my old suitcase that had some Christmas stuff in it. You know, it's been with us the whole time, all the ride tour, the last 4 years. And I got it out and set it up, and it was exactly the same as a real tree because I was wading through ankle-high stacks and piles of plastic pine needles.
Well, yes, when you put it up, it is. But after you vacuum, that's gone until you take it down. But a live Christmas tree, it's like always falling off. Like, it's just constant.
Well, you just put it, like, that's why they make...
And that's where the fire hazard comes from.
Kendall is so macho, he won't even put a skirt on a tree. You put a tree skirt under there, Kendall, and it catches all that.
Cliff, the train gets caught up on all the needles on the track.
I forgot you put out the Polar Express every year. You know, listeners, how there's some people there that are train people at Christmas time. I'm not a train person at Christmas time. I'm more of the person who puts Santa hats on all their dolls. That's more the person than I am. But Kendall is a train. He's a Christmas conductor.
Cliff, somebody's got to have a place for those dolls to sit to get to the North Pole, and that's the Polar Express.
They've got to do it. All aboard Christmas train.
Somebody's got to do it. Cliff, let's get some weird Christmas facts. I'm going to start us out.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
I forgot. That's where we were going, what we were doing.
That's what we're doing. And first, we're going to talk about jingle bells.
Jingle bells.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, Cliff, this song was written in 1857, and it was published under the title One Horse Open Sleigh,
it was supposed to be played
in the composer's Sunday school class during Thanksgiving as a way to commemorate the famed Medford sleigh races. It was written for Thanksgiving, and we just usurped it and sucked it right into Christmas like everything else. Because we just skip right over Thanksgiving and don't pay any attention.
And I'm glad that we do that. And I'm all for erasing all traces of Thanksgiving. But I want to give us credit because unless you lived there and were a chariot racer or whatever in Medford, it makes no sense as a Thanksgiving song. It's not turkey drumsticks, or pilgrim bells, or squanto. It's nothing like that. It's at least about bells. And, you know, I mean, I'll do my hit one more time. I heard the on Christmas Day, their old familiar play. And, you know, bells, at least, are one of the many, many, many things that could be construed as a Christmas thing.
Well, Cliff, it's been very versatile. First it was Thanksgiving, then it was Christmas, and then now it was the first Christmas song to be played from space, from outer space.
From space. Who did it? Buzz Aldrin. Was it him?
It was one small jingle bell for man, one giant jingle bell for mankind. No, I think it was from the International Space Station.
Oh, so one of those folks. All right, good for them. Kendall, I have something weird that I want you to know about Christmas. Now, in all of these things about how weird Christmas is, I just didn't realize how freaky deaky the whole holiday really is.
Freaky deaky.
You know, mistletoe. Last week, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter and Mr. Snodbottom, they were competing in these reindeer game relays or whatever. And one of the tasks was to kiss under the mistletoe for as long as you could. And of course, they did it no problem. They're making out all over the place, playing high the doily. Their love is alive and at the breakfast table every day of the week. But mistletoe, Kendall, speaking of it, how I just mentioned it, or as it's more well known, sometimes you call it Viscum album. I've heard you say that before instead of mistletoe.
I'm always saying Viscum. I'm standing under the Viscum album.
Yeah, well, literally, Viscum album, that means dung on a twig. And according to the National Wildlife Federation, dung on a twig, also known as Viscum album, also known as mistletoe, spreads through bird droppings. So think about that during your next makeout sesh under the dung on a twig.
Cliff, Rudolph's red nose, speaking of conditions that people might have from kissing under the mistletoe, is probably the result of a parasitic infection in his respiratory system. According to an author of the book The Physics of Christmas, Roger Highfield, he's the world's most famous reindeer, Rudolph, has a red nose due to this parasite. And however, Rudolph's relationship with this parasite is symbolic because the red nose illuminates the path through the winter night for the whole reindeer team. So technically, if you look into it, it's a parasite that was lighting Christmas's light path.
He has
Santa deliver those
a
presents.
Parasite that makes his nose glow. I don't think so. Debunked.
Debunked.
Just debunked that one for you, listeners. Don't worry about it anymore. Kendall, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of that astronomer George Banos and what he wrote in 1979, which was that beautiful star of Bethlehem, you know, the star, one star,
you know,
in the night that shine above the baby Jesus's birthplace in the manger. Unfortunately, that was probably not a star. Might have been a comet, but probably not. It was probably the planet Uranus. Kendall, did you know that it was Uranus marking the spot of the Savior's birth on Christmas Eve?
That's not Uranus. That's the light of the nitroglycerin plant.
Oh.
But in the Netherlands.
Netherlands, I love them.
Santa Claus, you know, he's known as Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaas Kapunska. Hasen Minsha Dunska. Shampa. Remember that's Unta Santa Clarsha. Punta Santa Clarsha. That's what they sang in Miracle on 34th Street.
It's beautiful.
When Santa, you know, he regaled everyone, stunned the crowd because he could speak Dutch or whatever.
Well, Cliff, he, you know, the Dutch version of Santa Claus, he arrives from Spain, not from the North Pole. And that's not the only weird thing about the Dutch Christmas, Mr. Christmas. Santa Claus has his little helpers. They are not adorable, hardworking elves. They are boys and girls who can steal your kids if they misbehave. Isn't this crazy? Have you seen this?
Oh, no, I've not seen that, but I am against it.
It's insane. It's crazy. I mean, it's their, they've done for centuries, but it's just... To see it, you know, like I saw it on some Christmas special a few days ago. I was like, what?
I don't want to see it, Kendall. Also, debunked. All right, Kendall.
It's not debunked. You can look away from it all you want, but it's happening.
In Greenland, Kendall, there's a special Christmas delicacy called kvæg. Did you know that?
Ooh, I don't know, but it sounds good.
Well, you would think so. I think we might. Maybe they gave us some when we were in Greenland. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. It's the body of a seal stuffed with the carcasses of around 400 birds that has been left out in the elements for 3 to 18 months. And then the air is squeezed out of the seal. And then the body is coated with seal grease. Birds ferment in the grease inside the seal. So that when the seal's finally opened at Christmas time, they can be eaten raw. Kind of like a pickle.
Oh, I've lost my appetite. I didn't think that was possible.
Kendall, here's something I've got to do, okay? I know you were probably about to rebound with some other factoid.
No, I was taking my time to recover from what you just told me.
Kendall, I've got to do this. In the Czech Republic, people, they wait until Christmas and they find out through, these superstitious actions. They find out through these superstitious sort of activities whether they're going to get married this year or not. So, Kendall, let me take off my shoe down here.
Ooh, right, put it back on.
There you go. No. Kendall, just spray some of that room spray over there if you need to. All right, if you throw your shoe over your shoulder it's got to be on Christmas Day, but I'll do a dry run today. On Christmas Day, it can tell you if you'll be married that year or not. All right, and if the shoe lands pointing at the door, you're going to get hitched. And if not, you're out of luck. All right, let's see. Let me throw it over here behind my shoulder. And oh, it landed upside down, pointing down to the ground. I wonder what that means.
Well, Cliff, if the shoe fits... Did you know that in Germany, Poland, and in the Ukraine, finding a spider or a spider web on a Christmas tree is believed to be a harbinger of good luck? Now, I know you would think that. You'd be like, look at this little spider living on my tree.
I consider all spiders and spider webs, J-Rod.
I know you do.
I consider them all good luck.
Well, according to a legend, a spider wove a blanket for baby Jesus. So it's like it was Charlotte's Web great 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 grandmother.
Yeah.
And she wove a blanket for baby Jesus. And so she was there in the nativity. We just couldn't see her. She was too small. And she turned silver and gold.
Well, that was probably one of the verses they left out of the Friendly Beasts. That song.
Exactly. They just didn't have enough room. Enough time.
Said the spider with 8 long legs.
So a lot of people have like little metal spider webs that they'll put on their tree. We should do that too.
I love it. I need one. Kendall, speaking of...
We need every piece of good luck this year we can put on a tree.
Now here's something else we could do to give us some good vibes.
Good vibes.
Kendall, you know, Christmas, it's always been to some people a religious holiday. God. But they take it even a step further in Guatemala. Every December 7th, so not that long ago, Guatemalans take part in La Quema del Diablo, or the Burning of the Devil. Families gather outside their houses and burn flaming effigies of the devil as a way to cleanse their homes of evil. So we could make a big devil to burn outside the motel.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Why not? I'm into it.
Devil time.
You know, a lot of people...
Oh, you in here? Speaking of the devil himself.
I heard you said the devil very clearly, dear. This is not the time to bring him up.
Not very Christmassy of you, boys, if you ask me.
We were just talking about some of the ways to keep him away here at Christmas.
Yeah, it was more of an anti-devil. It was we don't take sides on stuff like that.
That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that, dear.
Now, in other news, boys, Mrs. Potter-Potter-Potter-Churn, she's being very difficult in picking out a tree.
Difficult, dear. Please, I'm just saying that this tree is very much the one that we should pick because of its
lovely nature, dear. It's like Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Look at it. It needs love and help.
It's all bent over in the branches. Oh, they're very uneven, dear.
No, so are your branches, dear.
We need the... We need one of these beautiful pines over here to the left. Oh, they're very... Oh, they're huge, boys.
Look at that monstrosity,
they're stunning. They'll really blow the customers away, sugar lump.
Now, isn't there a way that you could find a tree somewhere in the middle, like a Goldilocks version of the two?
Y'all, don't listen to him. Why don't you just go get one of those... pre-packaged, you know, they're all tied up with those nets already, and then when you open it, it'll be kind of like a surprise, like what kind of tree will it be? It might be your kind or your other.
Dear, how could you leave Christmas up to a surprise? You must know exactly what you're going to get, dear, that way you can't play around.
Don't you remember that it's the birthday of Christ, the newborn king?
And if the doily skirt doesn't fit, it won't look right at all.
Oh, it's got to be very impressive so that people know to rejoice and joy to the world.
I think you guys need to go discuss this outside the booth.
Oh, look, someone's looking at my tree over there. I'm sorry, that one's not for sale.
Why don't you go ahead and saw that one down?
That's a complete...
Who knew a tree would bring so much animosity to Christmas?
It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Christmas trees should be bringing us together.
Well, they should.
Kendall, you know, this is one thing that brings people together in South Africa. Families in South Africa leave out cookies for Santa Claus, just like other people in other parts of the world. But apparently... there was a problem, Kendall. Kids kept eating them. They had little Cliff and Kendalls coming in, chowing down. So now parents tell their children the story of Danny, who was a boy that tried to eat Santa's cookies. He was caught by his grandmother and killed.
Ooh.
Now Danny's ghost haunts the homes of naughty children at Christmas time. Don't eat the cookies, kids.
That's terrifying.
I didn't say that it wasn't. It is very terrifying. Speaking of terrifying, Kendall, you ready for more?
What, my face?
I wasn't going to mention it. But you brought it up. I want more. What?
What?
I don't know. We're
I thought you were telling me. I thought you were saying we need more Christmas. And I was like, oh, let me tell you more. You were saying you have more to tell me.
I have more, Kendall. Just settle down over there.
I'm barely paying attention, Cliff. Go ahead.
I'm going to take that piano and throw it out into the snow underneath one of those trees. If you are paying more attention to it than the show. In Eastern Europe, one of the stories told to children is about Frau Perchta, or the Christmas witch. She has two faces, a nice face that she shows to nice children, and a scary face she shows to bad ones. She comes into homes on the 12th night of Christmas, which is January 6th, and leaves a piece of silver in the shoes of nice children, but, Kendall, for kids like you, bad seeds. She slits open their bellies, takes out their organs, and replaces them with pebbles and straw.
Jeez, that's a huge step up from coal.
I know, kids. What, American baby kids. I don't want coal. Your belly could be being slit open.
Cliff, you know the X in Christmas is not, it's not, doesn't stand for X-rated. And a lot of people are like, don't you say Xmas and take the Christ out of Christmas? Well, Cliff, Xmas is a common abbreviation of the word Christmas because the letter X from the Greek alphabet chi is the first letter of the Greek word for Christ or Christo. So Christ is still right there.
God. I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to pray. Kendall, this might be what our old friend Timo is doing on Christmas, because in Finland... you might find yourself at a cemetery at night on Christmas.
Ooh, I like it.
I know, me too. Finnish people often go to the cemetery on Christmas Eve and light candles at the graves of past family members. And it's a quiet and solemn ceremony, Kendall. But it still sounds like a hell of a good time to me. And I wonder if Timo's going to be out doing that on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve.
I don't know. He never invited us to a cemetery on Christmas Eve, and I would have gone.
Damn you.
Damn you, Timo.
Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve.
Cliff, do you know the first artificial Christmas tree wasn't a tree at all?
What the hell was it?
Well, it was goose feathers. It was created all from goose feathers that were dyed green. They were developed in Germany in the 19th century due to a major continuous deforestation.
Oh, what next, Kendall? What next? You know, after all of these horrible things you're talking about, people are going to need to relax, and there's nothing...
You're talking about cutting children's bellies open.
Oh, chill out, Kendall. In Estonia, it's traditional for the whole family to relax together and take a sauna together on Christmas Eve before church. Wouldn't that be nice and relaxing?
Sounds like it'd be too hot.
No, I can't please him, can we, listeners? Can't please Kendall. Now, you know,
taking a drink, I almost spit it all over the booth.
One of the other first artificial trees was made by the Addis Brush Company, which was a company that made toilet brushes in the 1930s. They invented the first artificial brush tree using the same equipment they used to create their signature toilet brushes. And they received a patent for the aluminum tree in 1950.
You know, I don't think, up until last year, I never really understood when I watched A Charlie Brown Christmas, when they go to the Christmas tree lot and they're all like the aluminum trees. I couldn't tell. I didn't know. I was like, why do the trees look like that? Like, I didn't get it that it was like made during the 60s and it was like kind of a protest against the aluminum trees. But it wasn't until like last year I was like, oh, those are aluminum trees.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Listeners' minds are blown. They can't believe it either, Kendall. Now, this is something that they do in Spain. We weren't in Spain around Christmas time.
Not in Spain, dear. We're in Fizzy 111.
Okay. In Spain, Tío de Nadal, or the Christmas log, is a hollow log with stick legs and other decor. And from December 8th through the 24th, children feed him nuts or dried fruit or whatever. They jam it inside of him. And then on Christmas Eve, they beat the Christmas log with sticks until the candy falls out, earning him the dubious nickname of Defecating Log.
What a wonderful Christmas tradition.
A lot of people's hearts were just warm because they were like, ah, I remember the days when I used to beat the defecating log.
I guess this year we'll have to go beat a defecating log to feel like we're really enjoying the spirit of Christmas.
Well, why the hell not? Maybe they're selling them here at this Christmas tree farm. Maybe they, you know, they had that barn full of other accessories and whatnot. They might have some defecating logs in there.
Yeah, but if we go out there, they're going to ask us to help cut the tree down. That's why we had to do the show.
Well, we can't go out right now.
Not right now. Cliff, Iceland, you know, they've got it right. Iceland has 13 Santas.
Uh-oh.
And they've got an old lady who kidnaps children. Christmas in Iceland is a colorful fusion of religion, fairy tales, and folklore. And instead of one Santa, the kids are visited by 13 Yule lads that either reward children for good behavior or punish them if they were naughty. And the holiday period begins 13 days before Christmas, and each day one of the 13 Yule lads comes to houses and fills the shoes of the kids that leave under the Christmas tree, either with sweets and small gifts or rotting potatoes, depending on how that particular child has behaved. Give me a potato.
You can say, give me a break.
Nope. Give me a potato.
Give me a break. Now I know what it takes. Putting a new face on the old one. Ready for anything. Kendall, speaking of ready for anything, I want to play this game, this old Christmas game from 1801. It's called Hot Cockles. Can we play this Christmas?
Hot Cockles?
Hot Cockles. How we do it is you place your head in another player's lap while others kick you or hit you from behind until you guess who they are.
I had played that game. I never knew it was called Hot Cockles.
I don't want to know what you called it, but that's what I call it. is hot cockles. 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 Kendall, this last one, last one for me reminded me of you, okay?
Don't they all?
At 225 tons, the Statue of Liberty is the world's heaviest gift. France, of course, put it all together, gave it to us. Us being the way to pronounce the U.S. in late October of 1886 as an early Christmas gift. And people bitch and moan, you shouldn't do Christmas. You don't do anything Christmas before December. Well, if we didn't, we wouldn't have the mother effing Statue of Liberty.
Cliff, when you said, this reminds me of you coming in at 227, and I thought you were going to say pounds. I was like, I wish.
No,
you went straight for the tonnage.
I knew of whom I spoke.
You know, I was talking to Charles earlier, and he was saying, oh, I don't want to, I wish we'd have to do presents and all this year, Christmas, And I was telling him I hope he's going to be visited by three ghosts later this evening.
Cockles, 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 cockles.
Well, well. Cliff, are you talking to me? Hey.
It took me a minute to decide whether or not I was or not, Kendall, but I decided.
I'm glad you came around.
In the spirit of Christmas, spirit of the holidays, I'm going to talk to you. Yeah.
Good, good, good. Hey, good to me. For you, Cliff. But you don't want to be bamboozled. You don't want to be led down the primrose path. You don't want to be conned and duped, have the wool pulled over your eyes, hoodwinked. You don't want to be taken for a ride, railroaded.
That was from the Polar Express, the railroad.
Yes, it was, Cliff. I threw in a little hint there for you at the end.
Thank you. Now, can I tell you, it's a controversial opinion. I hate that movie. It's so awful.
Well, that's okay. To each his own.
I enjoy it.
It's another Christmas movie. It's not my favorite one, but I do watch it and enjoy it.
Enjoy, Kendall, enjoy.
I will.
Kendall,
will,
now
will.
Don't any of you worry your heads about Santa. Mrs. Claus will have him plenty fattened up before Christmas Eve. It's always the same story.
The Santa Claus 2, 3.
2, 3, 1, 5. No, that was my 1100 or 111. That's the robot way of saying no. Incorrect.
What was
Kendall.
It?
That was.
You're gonna share with us?
Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Oh, Rudolph! I didn't go back far enough.
Didn't go back far enough, Kendall. Did not go back far enough, and didn't realize I would never include a quote. Probably never from the Santa Claus. Definitely not from any of the sequels.
Well, I should have known. All right, here goes the next one.
Here goes nothing, Kendall.
What have I done? What have I done? How could I be so blind? All is lost. Where was I? Spoiled all. Spoiled all. Everything's gone. All wrong. What have I done? What have I done?
Oh, it's like when I have to help you into your Christmas sweater because it's so tight and it's just so gross to help you squeeze it all in. It's like the nightmare before Christmas.
That's true, Cliff.
That's true.
On both accounts. On both accounts.
Rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
Cliff, was that from the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
It happened to be.
Christmas time is here.
Yes, it is.
Okay, no, for three reasons. A, I'm not that lucky. 2, we use smoke detectors. And D, we live on the most boring street in the whole United States of America, where nothing even remotely dangerous will ever happen. Period.
Oh, Kendall, this is my expression when I hear that quote.
Correct, Cliff.
I'm making the Home Alone face. Home Alone.
Home Alone.
All right, Kendall, here's one for you. Bless this highly nutritious microwavable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it on sale. Amen.
Cliff, I got one expression for you.
Oh, Home Alone face. Correct.
Ding, ding. Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's all I got. I'm no longer talking to you, Cliff. Cliff, I don't know about you, but I did see that they're making hot chocolate in the booth over there, and I would love to grab some of that real quick.
Oh, now I really don't care a lot about a hot chocolate, but I do want some of those.
What's wrong with you?
I want some of those big hot Christmas cookies that are coming out of that oven in that booth.
Well, I didn't say I didn't want those too.
You didn't say that you did, Kendall. Let's, if you want to live by exact words, like Mike Brady and Greg in that episode, and we go by exact words, we can do it, Kendall. But let me tell you, it did not work out well for Greg.
I don't have the time for the exact words of all the things I want to eat right now. So let's take a break and go get some of those cookies.
Let's do it.
Cockles, 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 cockles.
We'll be right back.
Cockles, 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 cockles.
This has been a great show so far, and I'm told it only gets better. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
The Christmas season once again is here. The dad has been selected the man of the year. The hip-hop job is the well-known fact. Got 1-900-909-RAP. Yes, dad's got the word. And it's better than toys. The old rap, my producing boys. For Christmas, word. Fresh out of Santa's sack. Got 1-900-909-RAP. So pick up your phones, sit back, relax, and listen. Kids, before you dial, get your parents' permission.
Yo, call right now and share Santa's hip-hop holiday. $2 the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute.
And we're back. It's Cliff and Kendall time.
Welcome back.
Sorry, I know that we are recording this time, I know that we are, but I just decided I'd prefer to hear this over the welcome back song.
I do too. I'm into it.
My Christmas cookies yet. Did you already finish your cookies and your hot chocolate?
Oh, yeah. I finished that seconds after I got them.
That's why you should have gotten the extra large like I did.
Well, Cliff, I knew I'd be going back for seconds, so I thought if I got two extra larges, it would be like quadruple.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Well. I didn't that time. I will next time. Well. I hate to interrupt your eating to do the show, but Christmas hacks and tips. I've been waiting patiently.
Oh, I know.
Well, I've got some for you.
So let them fly. Right,
you know, in...
Oh, my. Would you please talk some sense into Mrs. Butter-Butter-Churn?
Dear, Daffodil keeps thinking we need to get a huge, terrible-looking tree. It looks like...
No, we need a huge, beautiful-looking tree, and all of the trees that Mrs. Butter-Butter-Butter-Churn chooses, oh, they're very lopsided, or they have bald spots, or they have branches are so uneven.
Well, look, hey,
I can't imagine how the ornaments or the tinsel would look on a tree like that.
Look, Mr. Snotbottom, I was just about to give a tip to everybody that if you have a tree that looks a little like bare, you can use some green tinsel and make it look fuller. I'm sure that's what they did on Charlie Brown Christmas Tree when they just went and it looked so nice. That's probably what they used. You could do that. Oh, isn't that a wonderful idea?
Maybe, I mean...
Candlebauer, I think you've lost your marbles, boy.
A tinsel
and a tree are very different things. Oh, my.
I definitely think we don't need to get that huge, awful-looking tree. All the people in town are going to think we have a huge, awful, terrible budget for a Christmas tree. Let's get one that needs some help, dear, that we can make look like something.
I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, my bowels. They're just very frustrated, dear.
I bet we could even get
my bowels.
I bet I could get him to give us a discount on one of the ones that have the more bare spots. Excuse me, sir.
I think just take this outside and take the bowels.
Oh, she's already gone. She's gone. She's talking to that guy. That's why we have a booth to do a show while they're trying to do all this other stuff.
I think they both lost their damn minds.
Well, it happens to all of us sometimes, Cliff.
You know, Christmas, sometimes in all of the pressure, it brings it out in people, whereas normally neither of them would be acting so crazy. Cockles, cockles, cockles.
Now, do you have a Christmas hack for us, Cliff?
I thought you had a bunch that you wanted to share.
I just shared it. I just shared it when Mr. Snodbot was in here. To use shiny green tinsel to make your Christmas tree look fuller if it's looking real bare.
Oh, I thought you must have made that up on the spot.
No! Idiot. All right, well, I got another one for you. Gingerbread cookies. If you make some up and you just love how they look, you can make them part of your Christmas ornaments by just covering them with 3 layers of varnish. Now, I personally wouldn't let any of that food go to waste, but if you wanted to, you could.
I was going to say, can you imagine anybody being like, this cookie's so beautiful, I got to varnish it. Only Delta Burke is allowed to varnish her food and keep it. But, Kendall, I'll go along with you. I'll share some hacks, too. I'm out of cookies, finally.
Finally. And you didn't share any of yours.
Is Christmas driving us all insane? Have we caught crazy from Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn and Mr. Snowbottom?
Oh, we didn't catch anything.
I'm about to throw something, though. Kendall, add a festive touch to your brownies. Why don't you just bake them in a damn metal cookie cutter? It'll turn out beautifully.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
It sure does. And Kendall, remember yesterday, you were just asking me, what do I do with this old broken umbrella? Well, now I've got the idea. You just take off the umbrella part and until you have the metal wires, and then you spray paint it white and twist some twinkling lights. Make sure they're twinkling, Clark, and twist them around for an instant holiday lighting fixture once you hook that bitch up onto the ceiling.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I bet you could... there was no sarcasm there! You could put Christmas ornaments hanging on it, too.
I suppose so, but the tip...
I liked your idea.
Was
the hostility
light
in this booth? Cliff?
No, here's what we have to do. We have to cleanse the booth. We have to cleanse it.
You have some sage?
I don't have an effigy of the devil for us to burn. So we have to, we need to sing a cleansing Christmas song.
And what would that be?
I don't know. You choose it and you start us off. I'll join in.
Oh Christmas Tree?
Whatever you choose, as long as it is cleansing.
Okay. Okay. Oh, Christmas tree, my leaves are so unchanging.
Kendall, I don't feel cleansed by this one.
Okay. Hold on.
Gotta debunk that Oh Christmas Tree is a cleansing carol. It's not.
Let's see. Oh, I have one. I have one for sure. This is for sure to cleanse anybody that would love to be cleansed for Christmas. I believe... Oh, shit. Well, I've hit something and screwed something up.
Kendall, all of these technical problems aren't very cleansing.
There we go. Okay, here we go. Ready? I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in Santa Claus. I believe there's always hope when all seems lost. And I believe in Santa Claus.
Debunk. That one's not cleansing either. Kendall, I'll wait till you can find one.
Do you want to give suggestions?
It's, can't you turn to the index in that book and find under cleansing? Starts with a C.
Okay.
Christmas time is here. Happiness and cheer. One for all the children call a favorite time of year. Sleigh bells in.
Oh.
Either one. In the air.
Carols everywhere. Olden times and ancient rhymes of love and dreams to share.
All right, now I'm digging because that was correct.
All right.
That was a cleanser.
And it was under the sea, like you said.
Whew, you did it, Kendall. You did it.
See, if given enough tries, anyone can do it.
You have cleansed the booth of all negative energy. And I feel like in many ways, like Ernest or Elmo or us, you've saved Christmas.
Well, good. Well, I got a good tip to help you with your saved Christmas.
Oh, amen.
God.
If you love hot chocolate like I do, you can take whipped cream, put it on a tray, put it in the freezer and freeze it. And then you can cut out little hearts or snowmen or whatever shapes you want. And you just drop those in your hot chocolate, little shaped snowmen and things. Doesn't that sound great?
That sounds like a beautiful idea.
It's.
You know, a lot of times you open up your ornaments from the suitcase you've been carrying them around in. And they're just smashed all to hell, right? It's happened to us all. Next year, why don't you store your delicate ornaments in an egg...
Egg carton.
Carton. Store them in an egg carton, everybody.
Love it. I love it. I think that's a great idea. Also, you could put them... You could take red Solo cups and like glue them into a tote and use those to separate bigger ornaments.
You can't. How do you store your ornaments, Kendall? How do you do it?
Well, I have a tote and I got that little divider like cardboard insert thing where it's like a grid and you put all the ornaments in. I wrap them in like newspaper, each one, so it takes forever. And then I put a layer of cardboard over that and then do another stack of the grid. But you can use red Solo cups.
Yeah, you have more room in your suitcases than I do. I keep them. I don't have the cardboard thing. I just wrap them all in either the bubble wrap or several layers, depending upon how breakable they are. Several layers of tissue paper, and then just stack them on top of each other.
Well, that's just one tote of like all my really like favorite delicate that I like.
Delicate ones, right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's another idea, Cliff, that I thought was fun when I saw it. You can either use old white Halloween pumpkins that you had or paint them white and stack three on top of each other and make a snowman for Christmas.
I saw that too, but Kendall, I don't know how I'm supposed to do that when my pumpkins are rotting, blobs outside my motel room door.
Well, you can get new ones.
I don't think I'll go to the new, that new pumpkin patch that just opened up for Christmas. That one. I'll go to that one.
Well, I would just buy some right near the end of Halloween to get ready for it next year.
Now, Kendall, this is the Hanukkah portion of the show. I want everybody who's like, well, all my menorah does is just drip all over the damn place. I have a solution. Why don't you just buy one of those $1 tin foil serving trays and set your menorah up in it. And not only will it catch all the drips, it will have a beautiful reflective atmosphere to the, because they reflect.
I think that's a great idea, Cliff. And so much atmosphere you're bringing to the party.
Yeah, well, and then at the end of Hanukkah, after the wonderful eighth day, you're thinking, well, what do I do with this old candle wax covered menorah? Do I just toss it out? It's got so much wax all over it. Well, instead of scraping it with a scraper, you can put it in the oven on a low setting on a pan with some wax paper, and the wax will just drip right off onto that wax paper. You just bake it, baby.
What a great idea.
What a great idea.
What a great idea. What a great idea.
Love it.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Cliff, here's a tip that I saw that I think is a great idea. Pulverize candy canes and just put them on everything. Cookies, cakes, ice cream, sundaes, hot chocolate, you name it. Sprinkle a little of that magic.
Kendall, I got a ding for that one.
I thought you might.
Because it's correct. It's correct. All right.
Finally something we can agree on.
Now, finally, also, Kendall, and if you were settled in for a long-winded nap, I'd want to know, what would you do?
Ooh, what would I do?
What would you do? You do.
I forgot all about what would I do.
Oh, Kendall, so it's a Christmas miracle. It's another segment you forgot all about.
A Christmas miracle.
Kendall, I've got one for you.
Do you want to start us out? Go ahead.
Kendall, you die, and of course you go straight to hell. And Satan, although no surprise here, is a big fan of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. So, he gives you a choice as one of its dead co-hosts. He says, Kendall, you can have your choice. You can either return to Earth and be one of Santa's elves or one of Santa's reindeer. What would you do?
Well, easy, Cliff. Easy. I would be an elf. Because then I could make presents, and I would get to bring joy to all the children all over the world.
Oh, Kendall, what the elf? That's a good point, but I have to point out, if you're a reindeer, you just shit wherever you want to. Wherever you're standing, just let it out.
I'm pretty sure as an elf, you could do that too.
Every time a bell rings,
an elf takes a dump.
Takes a dump.
Cliff, you go to the Christmas party, to a huge Christmas party, and there is a nice large spread of food that's out, and all your favorite things are there. Every famous Christmas dish, you start to eat when you see a sign that says, "Danger, do not eat any of this food. Severe consequences may arise." Of course, you ignore this because it looks so delicious. Right after you eat it, you start to turn into a human candy cane, and you're about halfway turned into a human candy cane from the waist down. What do you do?
I mean, what could I do? I guess.
I don't know. That's the question for you, Cliff.
You're like, well, I guess as long as my arms are working, I just might as well keep eating. I can't turn into more of a candy cane than I will already turn into.
That's the correct answer. And that's the kind of question you always ask me. I'm like, well, what can I do?
Oh, Kendall, I would never, ever ask you a question like that. Kendall, one Christmas Eve, you are being chased by a Christmas leprechaun through an old warehouse in the old abandoned warehouse district of Fizzy 111. Mm-hmm. And you are cornered. And of course, you, for whatever reason, you ran up to the third floor. I don't know why you ran up when you should have ran out, but you ran up, Kendall. That's what you did. And now, the Christmas leprechaun is coming at you, and you have got to jump from one of two windows. One jump leads to a giant pile of sharp Christmas stars that are tree toppers, and they're very pointy. And one leads to a pile of Christmas trees made from barbed razor wire. They were manufactured to sell to prisons, but nobody bought any. And Kendall, what would you do? Which jump would you make?
Well, I'd go for the first one, the stars, because even though they're pointy and it would hurt like hell and I'd probably have to go to the hospital, it'd be better than the barbed wire because that would really just scratch up all my organs and everything would just pour out into a Christmassy goo.
Well, unfortunately, Kendall, I think Christmassy goo is the best you can hope for in either situation.
So I lost again.
Lost again.
Okay, Cliff, it's the middle of the night on Christmas Eve.
Oh, love and you're sleeping. It's the kind of night. All things come together. All right.
You sing three lyrics of a song, and then you go to sleep, and you're sleeping very soundly. Visions of sugar plums are dancing in your head. Someone awakes you from your slumber. You rub your eyes, and you see that it is Santa Claus. and he says he has no time to explain, but the only way to save Christmas is for you to have hideous, awful sex with a witch. You, of course, love Christmas and say you will do it no problem. The witch is so angry for you for having hideous sex with her on Christmas Eve, she curses you to never be able to experience Christmas again. She says, take that for saving Christmas. What do you do?
I guess you just find another witch to have hideous, awful sex with, and she will reverse the curse. Reverse the curse.
You have to have sex with the same hideous, awful witch to break the original curse. The well-known loophole.
If I somehow did it once, I guess I could do it one more time. All right, Kendall, you have been out shopping for gifts for what but the holidays, and you come back to the motel. You know, you're humming a Christmas tune. What happens? But on Christmas morning, you go check your stocking, and an evil Christmas genie has hidden in your stocking and pops out when you pull it down and says, You must choose between having consensual sex with, building a life together with, because marriage is just too restrictive, or you put this person lastly down humanely. Kendall, your choices are the Bumble from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the angel Gabriel, who famously told Mary what was going to happen, or the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
Okay, remind me who the first person is.
The Bumble, the abominable snowman from Rudolph.
Oh, the abominable snowman. So I would put down the ghost of Christmas yet to come humanely.
Oh.
Because I don't want to know what's coming. I would have consensual sex with the angel Gabriel. And then I would marry... or build a life with, because marriage is too restrictive, with the abominable snowman, because I think he'd be fun to hang out with.
All right, if that's what you would do, that's what you would do.
I'm no longer asking what you would do. You could do something for Christmas morning when you're opening gifts. You could wrap an empty cardboard box in wrapping paper, and that could be your trash can. And think how nice that would be, because it's a beautiful, decorated box.
You know who came up with that hack? The wrapping paper companies.
I don't care if they did or not. I love it. I love them for it.
I love them for it. Now, Kendall, here's what I do. Here's what I was trying to do. You thought I was like trying to get your attention when I was outside your motel window the other day. I was actually hot gluing on snowflakes.
I didn't know what you were doing out there.
I know. Well, you at first thought it was a big spider web made of glue, and you were freaking out. And then you were like, what are you doing? What are these shapes? But it ran a little bit because I'd never done it before. But I was making snowflakes with hot glue. Just plug up your hot glue gun, get a really long extension cord, and go outside your window and snowflake it up, baby.
Do you put anything else on it to make it white, or you just leave it clear?
Leave it. It'll sparkle in the sun.
Oh, okay. Sparkle. I have to try it. Well, I don't have to try it. You've already done it to my windows.
Yeah, I've already just notice it when you go back.
Cliff, you know, you can, if you have a chandelier, if you are fancy enough, do you have a chandelier? You could hang Christmas ornaments from it, and it would be a Christmas ornament chandelier.
You could. You could do that. There's a lot of things that you could do. You could, of course, use an ice cream cone turned upside down and then put green icing on it on the top of your cupcakes. You could take an old wadded strand of lights and stick it under some debris from your lawn. You could wrap up a damn cake mix as a gift. You could, instead of using, don't tell the wrapping paper companies this one, you could use old scraps of fabric to wrap your gifts in, you know, because from all your sewing projects, you have those scraps left over. You could personalize a clear ball ornament for inside Kendall's. You could put sheet music, because he's a virtuoso. For inside mine, you could put pictures of Jake Gyllenhaal, and then your whole family, just whatever they love. Put it in the ball.
You can take little pieces of old crayons that your kids have like don't use anymore and put them in a glass ornament and like heat them with a heat gun and they'll melt and you can like move them around and make all kind of swirly colors on there.
Could also
beautiful.
Do that. Beautiful.
Oh, now I heard a really cool hack that I thought was amazing. You know how like you have old ribbon that you pull out to wrap a gift with and it's all like folded and mangled and looks terrible?
Oh my God, it annoys me every Christmas.
Well, it does me. You could use a flat iron or a regular iron to iron it out and it'll be smooth as new.
Iron it out. Isn't that a metaphor for everything? Just iron it out.
Oh, goodness, dear.
Oh, boys.
We have great news, dear.
Wonderful, wonderful Christmas news.
You've decided on a tree.
You tell them, Sugar Lump. Oh, my.
Yeah, well, sort of. We've decided to get both trees. What a wonderful solution.
I thought of it when I saw a sign that said two trees for the price of one. Oh, it's a miracle from the Lord himself, dear.
Isn't it a wonder? The Lord said we should iron things out, dear, and then there
hallelujah.
Was a sign. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll be singing hallelujah all the day.
Beautiful, dear. That was a wonderful song.
Oh, praise the Lord.
We have to wrap up the tree so we can get them back to the store. We'll put the big one right in front of the window.
Yes, we've got to get Charles the contractor to tie them on top of the rental car.
Dear. Oh, and we can put the tree that's not so beautiful next to the register to show our people should get to the holiday.
Oh, well, thank God.
It was beautiful. I'm glad they ironed it out, just like that ribbon.
Ironed it out.
Do you have more tips? For us.
I have no more tips. I reached the tipping point with my tips.
All right. Well, let's see. Oh,
I'm tipped out.
I'll share you one more tip with you.
Tip it.
So if you want to have a great, fun drink for the kids this Christmas season, just put some green sherbet and Sprite, mix it together, and it can be the Grinch's drink. Doesn't that sound fun?
Wonderful note to end the tippage on there.
I thought so.
Anybody want some Grinch drink? Got a new batch of Grinch drink over here.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
That's all I got, Cliff. I almost called you Kendall.
Even I'm
confused what's happening at this point.
That's because there's all these blanks that have yet to be filled in.
Oh, that's why. Let's fill in the blank.
Better fill those motherfucking.
See, it's odd to have fill in the blanks after well past an hour after the show's been gone, and that's why I was so confused.
Well, we've been out here, you know, the snow is kind of cleared up, and
been
it's
having such a good time.
It's just been beautiful. I had those cookies earlier. I'm getting ready to go have another extra large order.
I'll start us out for the fill in the blanks. All right. May you never be too grown up to search the blank on Christmas Eve.
The sky.
Yes, the sky.
Who said that? Jimi Hendrix.
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
Yes.
Beautiful. Kendall, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they blank.
Taught.
Or teach, yes.
Learn. Teach, yes.
That was, of course, said by, as you call him, Charlie Dickens.
Old Charlie Dickens. Love it. I love it. Cliff.
Love it.
Now, I actually read the wrong Shirley Temple quote. This is the one I meant to read for you. I stopped believing in Santa Claus when I was 6. Mother took me to see him in a department store, and he asked for my blank.
Oh, my autograph.
Yes.
Yes.
What a bitch Santa was.
What a bitch Santa. Our hearts grow tender with childhood memories and love of kindred, and we are better throughout the year for having in spirit become a blank again at Christmas time.
Child.
A child, and she said it on the prairie. That was Laura Ingalls Wilder.
What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest
on Kendall's lap is...
Amen.
Amen. All my blanks are filled, Cliff.
The blanks are filled. The trees have been chosen, and Christmas is here, Kendall. This is Christmas on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Christmas on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. That's what it is.
That's what I call it.
I love it.
Kendall, have you done all of your shopping for the holidays?
Now that's the funniest thing you've said all night. Not a chance. Have you?
No. No. We better get them to take us by the mall on the way back to the motel.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hey, we don't have a tree for our motel room either. Maybe we should go pick one out and have them cut it down for us.
Oh, yeah, it's 2 for 1. Let's go.
Oh, good idea. Okay. Hey, Charles, before you put that chainsaw down, we need you to cut something down.
Thanks for listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Binge listen to more episodes at cliffandkendall.podbean.com.
Cockles, 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 cockles.